News Talk Saturday.
Now, what a remarkable 24 hours. The US Supreme Court, of course, packed with lots of appointees by Donald Trump and Neil Gorsuch, Amy Comey Barrett. These are people who were meant to bring a Trumpian perspective to the Supreme Court. But no, when the judgment came out yesterday afternoon, Irish time, it seems a massive hole has been blown open in the Trump economic agenda and project. The certain amount, I think it's about 70% of the current tariffs, are effectively made illegal on the back end of this decision. Now, he had also an extraordinary press conference later, trying to sound buoyant, but he sounded a lot deflated, but also some really almost unhinged commentary about his relationship to various countries around the world. And we do have a little clip of what the president's been saying.
But other alternatives will now be used to replace the ones that the court incorrectly rejected. I assume to protect other countries. This must have been done to protect those other countries, certainly not the United States of America. But I am allowed to cut off any and all trade or business with that same country. In other words, I can destroy the trade. I can destroy the country. I'm even allowed to impose a foreign country-destroying embargo. I can embargo. I can do anything I want, but I can't charge $1.
Wow. Sounds like War of the Worlds, actually, is what that sounds like from the president there. I can be the destroyer of countries and nations coming straight over there. What does it all mean? We do know here in Ireland that anything that sort of pushes back that tariff-led agenda is probably to the advantage of the Irish economy. But he has various other legal avenues and pieces, scraps of legislation around that he can reassemble these tariffs. At least that's what we're being told. But he may need congressional approval for some elements of it. So what does it all mean? And we're also going to talk about Ireland's general dependence on corporation tax revenues now with Dr. Emma Howard. She is an economist at the Technological University of Dublin, TUD, and she joins me now. Good morning to you, Emma.
Good morning, Emmett.
We have a lot to dissect, Emma, so the two of us, I hope I've allocated enough time. We'll come on to the corporation tax part of this conversation in a few minutes, but let's just start off with tariffs. He has now reimposed, or for the first time imposed, it gets very confusing, but a 10% new tariff, which he claims he can do for 150 days, then he would need US congressional approval. My reading of all of this is, no matter what way he tries to spin this, it is a setback for the tariff-led agenda, the protectionist sort of America First agenda. It's going to get more tricky. It's going to get more entangled from here on in. Is that your analysis, or do you look at it differently?
No, I think so. And it's, I suppose, the main thing that you can take from this Supreme Court ruling is that it has removed this idea that Trump can really do whatever he likes, and he can set any level of tariff on any country, and he can, as we heard in that very rambling speech he gave yesterday, that he can try and target particular countries and ruin them. So what he has announced is this use of the Section 122, but importantly, that law allows him to impose unilateral tariffs. In other words, he can't select particular countries, and he can use it to address large and substantial trade deficits that the US might have. So what it means is that he can't any longer do what he has been doing, which is using this this economic policy as a weapon. So we saw when, for example, like France and Germany and the UK were opposing this idea he had to take over Greenland, that they were threatened with tariffs as a result. We saw it with Brazil and Bolsonaro, that he threatened tariffs on them because he didn't like what they were doing. So this Section 122 does allow him to apply tariffs, but he can't be selective about it. And as you pointed out, only 150 days he can do this, and then it needs congressional approval.
Yeah.
So it's definitely clipped his wings a bit.
Now, what's also fascinating, why is he doing any of this? You've mentioned the foreign policy, you know, he uses it as a weapon, as a cudgel, I suppose, in negotiations with different countries. But he's also ostensibly doing it because he wants America to export more and import less. But when you look at those numbers, the opposite is actually happening. The trade deficit, goods and services, is actually expanding. So this ain't working if you just look at purely the economics of it.
It's not. No, the US trade deficit actually grew 2% last year. So it had the opposite effect of what he wanted last year. Now, part of that, of course, is because we know from the Irish data as well, that there was a huge increase in exports to the US, where companies were stockpiling because those tariffs were flagged well in advance. So there was a bit of anticipatory behavior where we had an increase in those exports to try and avoid tariffs that companies thought were coming down the line. So it's hard to disentangle, you know, how much of that growing trade deficit is because of that behavior, because then, of course, we saw much lower exports to the US in the later part of last year. But certainly we know this, and, you know, standard economic theory would tell you that this isn't the reasons for trade deficits are more structural reasons, and they are not going to be fixed or addressed by implementing tariffs.
Now, the other point to worth pointing out, at least, is when he stood up and did his liberation thing on the grass at the White House, we've come so far from there. Like, in other words, they were massive swinging tariffs. We saw what happened to Switzerland. There wasn't, you know, everyone was getting some, even people who were firm US allies got a huge hit of this tariff stick. But since then, with carve outs, exemptions, various negotiations, the teeth have been kind of pulled out of that initial announcement. And it's a little bit of a pussycat of a sort of a tariff package now compared to what he was trying to do back then. So he's had to step in a whole range of areas, including pharmaceuticals, where lots of things are exempt or they're on a lower rate or so on. So when you actually get down to what the actual effective tariff rate is, it's a lot lower than people might appreciate.
It is. And actually, the Global Trade Alert issued an update after the Supreme Court decision, and they estimate that the average trade weighted tariff in the US before this decision was 15%. And if we were to take this decision into account, it would reduce that average tariff rate to 8%. Now, that sounds small, but actually that's still high by historical standards. And we know that tariffs are very distortionary, that they reduce economic growth both within the country that's applying them and on the country on which they're applied. So I suppose we've had all, as you say, the Liberation Day tariff levels were so high that were proposed. We've almost become anchored in thinking that those are low levels of tariffs. But really, any tariffs and restrictions of trade are damaging. And so while this is a positive that it looks like we're going to get lower tariff rates, it's still not great. And of course, the other really big thing here is that, again, we have more economic uncertainty. And this has been really just the main issue with the Trump economic agenda, that it is so chaotic, it is so random, and it is ever changing, as you mentioned. So, you know, it really leaves very little certainty for businesses, very little certainty for consumers, who are really negatively impacted by higher prices when tariffs are levied. And it really is damaging for investment and for economic growth.
Let's be a little bit parochial for a second and look at Ireland. In your opinion, is this good or bad that he's been received this setback from the Supreme Court in terms of what tariffs may be placed at the disadvantage of the Irish economy? We know Micheál Martin is going to be sitting beside President Trump in a few weeks' time. That's another conversation, a nervous conversation, I would suggest. But in terms of the Irish economy and tariff impacts, where do you sit on that as of what you've heard over the last 24 hours?
Look, it's just really hard to know what will actually transpire and where we'll end up with all of this. But I think what's really important to note is how reliant we are on the US economy and on a small handful of US foreign multinational firms here. So the most recent figures from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council released this week showed that the top 10 of those firms pay 60% of our corporation tax receipts, and the top three pay almost half. So those three American firms, one pharma firm and two tech firms, contribute a huge proportion of the government revenue here, which we are increasingly spending on funding public services, and which the government are planning to spend the majority of on their national development plan. So, like, any downturn in the US economy, any change in the profits and the activities of those firms is going to have a substantial impact on our economy. And of course, because we're a small open economy, we're very linked to America as the world's largest economy. Any downturn in the US and globally has a really big impact on us as well.
Yeah, I was fascinated by the corporation tax fears. I suppose I would push back slightly on them in the sense that if you have to be dependent on any multinational, Apple and Microsoft are not the worst in the bunch, but I take the general point. I did see Apple as well expanding into a new office in Dublin. So what I thought was interesting there was they're actually expanding their footprint as opposed to contracting it, which you'd kind of think, you know, is paradoxical in the sense of what Trump is doing. But I do accept the concentration levels, just those two or three companies. There is a massive vulnerability building up there. I suppose it'll wax and wane as each year goes on and the figures go up and down. Mm. But it is a very small basket.
It is, and you're right, Emmett. Like, and that's the funny thing is that we are actually probably going to see those corporation tax increase further next year as the new OECD minimum rate of 15% applies. So the estimates are that we will get even more money next year in corporation tax receipts. So there isn't any immediate risk; they're not going to fall off a cliff. But there is a long-term risk, and the Department of Finance produced a really nice report on this called Future 40, where they really identified we have a 10-year fiscal window to deal with all of those systemic vulnerabilities that we have. So our housing needs, our infrastructure needs, the costs coming down the line of decarbonisation and climate adaptation and our aging population. So while, yes, that money is great to have coming in, it's not going to go away anytime soon. We need to plan for the future because we can't rely on that as a stream to fund public spending and to fund investment spending, which really needs to be sustainable over the long run.
I suppose the tricky part is, you know, for everyone else listening in, you say, OK, well, let's broaden the tax base. What that means in reality is moving away from company-based taxation and heading towards individuals, whether it's income, property, etc. That's a tough adjustment to make, to sort of say to the Irish voting public, Apple and Microsoft will be less dependent on them and we'll shift the burden over to you guys. I can understand why the government, maybe in a budget or two, would be slow to do that, sensible though it may be from a macro point of view. But I mean, that's probably where they'd go. They'd say, well, where are we going to broaden it? Is it more, you know, property tax on housing? That's tricky. Are we going to go down? Do we get to fiddle around with income tax credits or VAT or something? Because they're the only ones that will bring in big money. So it is tricky politically, I would argue.
It is tricky. And yeah, you know, we need to do one of two things. We need to one of three things, really. We need to increase taxes, or we need to reduce public expenditure, or we need to increase public sector productivity. And probably we need to do all three. It is tricky to raise more taxes and not politically popular when we think about taxing income or taxing consumption, which is less distortionary and probably preferable. But the other side of it is, at the moment, if you look at these windfall corporation tax receipts that we're receiving, the government has been saving some of them, so we have a buffer for a downturn, but they've been saving kind of a bit less than a third. Their plans are to save only €1 in every 8 out to 2030. So they're planning to spend a huge amount of this money. And at the moment, we do have a strong, resilient economy. So the government is spending far more than is sustainable in an economy that's performing well, which is increasing inflation. So the cost of living increases that people are feeling. Part of that is being driven by high levels of government spending. But more importantly, we will face another downturn. We will find something will happen that will reduce economic growth. And at that time, the government has locked itself into what we call a pro-cyclical fiscal policy. So at that time, when there's a downturn, that's when the government should be cutting taxes, should be giving us more money to help when the economy is not performing well. But what's going to happen is that they're going to have to do the opposite. So we're going to end up with, like we had post-global financial crisis, where, you know, everyone is really, really struggling then. So it's this.
Yes,
you know,
we've been all down this road before, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a bit of pain now to kind of prevent further pain down the line is one way for the listeners to think about
it. And they haven't got an election for a while, so there is the little bit of roadway to make a bit of some experimentation around. Listen, I have to leave it there. Exactly. Thank you very much for your input. That's Dr. Emma Howard, who is an economist at the Technological University Dublin, TUD. We do appreciate it.
News Talk Saturday.